But there's something from God's Word I'd like to share with us as we look forward to serving Him these days ahead. And not just for the staff, but this is a good word for all of us, because we all have a place to fill in serving the Lord. For the past 3 years, I have had a part-time job at a junior high school, public school, and I'm a school aide, which means you do whatever needs to be done. You're in the cafeteria a lot with all the kids. You're out in the schoolyard with them. You're in the hallways. And they just like to have extra bodies around to help keep order. Well, you really get to know the kids pretty well. You see them regularly and try to interact with them. And as I guess maybe it was Minerva was talking tonight about the counselors and what a wonderful opportunity they have. George mentioned also to share the gospel with these children, to pray with them, to lead them to the Lord. I said amen to that because I don't have that opportunity at school. I talk to the kids and I see how greatly they're in need and how troubled they are. We're dealing with a generation of young people that are really emotionally troubled. There have been some very dramatic things that have taken place in the world and in their lives. And the kids in our school, they come from all different backgrounds and all different religions and all different nationalities and all different types of homes. Some kids' parents are in jail. Others are drug addicts. They live in projects. They live in shelters. And so I try to get close to the kids, and I try to show them the love of Christ. I always remind myself, the Lord brought me to that school to show the love of Christ to these kids. I can't preach to them, and I can't pray with them, and I can't witness to them, but I find ways. I like everyone to know in the school that I'm a pastor. I don't hide that, because that interests people. And then they start asking questions. What'd you preach on Sunday? Oh, glad you asked. And I'm very happy to share. And there are ways in which I can share the Word of God with them. And then, of course, I can pray for them at home. I think of them, and I think of this one and that one. Pray that God. I've often prayed, Lord, let every young person in this school be given an opportunity to hear the gospel sometime in their life. The Muslims and the Jewish young people and those that come from homes that don't believe in anything. Lord, I might not be the one to share it, but I can begin to plant a seed, and through prayer, I can believe God to open their hearts and send a witness to them. And there are times when I see young people reading their Bibles, and then I, of course, am very interested in what church they attend and their experience, and they're so happy to have someone that that knows the Lord and that they can relate to in that way. And I try to encourage them to be true to Jesus and so on. And so it's been a challenging experience. It's been a great blessing. It's been good for me to get out and mix with the world in that way. Most of my life, I've been surrounded by Christians. Especially in the ministry. You're always around Christians or people that are coming to church, and now I'm surrounded by a bunch of kids that don't call me Pastor Ken. They call me things, but not Pastor Ken. And then one kid gave me a note, I'm sorry, Mr. Ken, you've always been so kind to us, and the things that they do with your picture on the internet. I said, oh, brother, I have no idea what's going on. But anyway, I leave that all with the Lord. Amen. And so you counselors have a wonderful opportunity to do what I can't do. You can deal with them about their souls and their need of Jesus and of His great love for them and what He's done for them on Calvary. And you ought to take advantage of that and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in these days. And pray that God will open a door for you to be able to really minister to these young people before they go back home. Some will go home and never come back to Pilgrim Camp again. others may start coming and come every year. We don't know. We have to seize the opportunities as God presents them to us. I was thinking the other day about Jesus. The Bible says that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, I'm getting over something, and I'll be doing a little bit of this during this week. He anointed Jesus with Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In the short time that Jesus was here on earth, and especially those 3.5 years of his ministry, what a tremendous impact he had upon society and upon all the people that God brought into his life from all different walks of life. He loved them all. He ministered to all that came to him. He changed many lives. In the Old Testament, we read about the Holy Spirit. And we read that he came upon people at different times. You read about that with regard to the prophets. Or when you read in the book of Judges, the Spirit of God came upon that person and manifested himself and used them in a certain way. But that wasn't a continuing experience for them. The Lord would have to come on them over and over again. And when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and as they were traveling through the wilderness, God gave him instructions to build a tabernacle. God wanted to dwell among his people. Recently, I've read the book of Exodus, and those are some hard chapters to get through, right? All the instructions of the measurements of the tabernacle, and you read them, and you try to get a blessing, and you know they're there for a reason. Well, some passages are easy to draw a blessing from. They're rather devotional, and others you have to get the blessing by studying and seeing the reason why God put them there and how it causes things to fit together. But God gave them the instructions to build a tabernacle, and he raised up people that were equipped to do so, and they worked together. We've heard about working together tonight. They worked together to accomplish what God desired. There were some that were carpenters and others that worked with leather and cloth and metals, and they brought their talents together and under the direction of those that were led by the Lord, and the tabernacle was built. And this was the place where God had ordained for the people to gather, where he would manifest his presence, where they would bring their sacrifices. He ordained the priesthood and so on. And the Bible tells us that that the cloud of God's presence filled the tabernacle. The glory of God filled that tabernacle when it was completed and dedicated to the Lord. So much so that Moses couldn't enter in because the glory and power of God was so mighty that he had to stand outside. And the Bible tells us that over the mercy seat, God would manifest his glory, and that during the day they would see a cloud above the tabernacle, a cloud of God's presence. And at night it was like a pillar of fire. Their tents were set up in order around the tabernacle. The tabernacle was in the center of the camp. And the Bible tells us that when the cloud lifted, then the people knew that God wanted them to move forward. So they packed up all their belongings, they folded up their tents, the Levites took down the tabernacle, and they followed the cloud, wherever the cloud went. And then when the cloud settled, then they settled. And they set up camp again, and they set up the tabernacle again. Sometimes they were there for maybe a few weeks, sometimes they were there for a few years before the Lord lifted and moved them on. And so they followed the cloud of God's presence through the wilderness, and eventually he led them to the promised land, taught them many lessons along the way. You know, that reminded me of when Jesus was baptized. The Bible tells us in I think it's the Gospel of Luke. Well, it's Matthew. It says here, it's one instance, Matthew chapter 3. It tells us there that when Jesus came up out of the water, that the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the bodily form of a dove. Matthew 3:16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heaven were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Another translation says, resting or abiding on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I don't know how many people saw that dove, the dove of the Holy Spirit, descend upon Jesus. I imagine Jesus did and was very aware of this fresh and powerful anointing that had come upon his life at that time. I know that John the Baptist saw it because the Lord told John the Baptist, the one upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and abiding upon, he it is that is the Christ, the Savior. And so that was a confirmation to John. And so the touch of God came upon Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a new way, in a greater way, came upon Christ at his baptism. And now Jesus was truly the anointed, right? That's what the Christ means, the anointed one. And under that anointing, God manifested himself in his life in tremendous ways, healing the sick, delivering those that are bound by demon powers, giving hope to those that were lost and hopeless, preaching the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, changing lives. And I thought about that. How is it that God was able to minister through Christ in that way? Well, it has something to do with Jesus' attitude. Jesus also had to learn to follow the cloud. He had to learn to keep under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus comes into our life, we have him in our hearts. And we have to learn to recognize that he's there all the time. That's the first step. I wake up in the morning and I say, Jesus, you're within me. Thank you, Lord, you're with me today. We heard that Jesus never leaves us. He's always there. And we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to learn to practice his presence. Practice living in his presence all the time. Wherever we go, we say, Lord, you're with me. Lord, I claim your presence. I claim your touch. Lord, anoint me and use me. Make me a blessing. And when we're alone, maybe when we're frightened, we learn to say, Jesus, you're with me. And the light of his presence drives away the fears and the darkness. When I was a little boy, I used to go downstairs in the dark. It was scary. My mother, I think, she told me, when you get scared, just call on Jesus. Just keep saying the name of Jesus. And so I go downstairs, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I don't know, I came back alive every time. But I'm a little bit older now, but I recognize, I make a habit of recognizing the presence of Jesus in my life. And the more you do that, the more real that becomes to you. And then you realize that you're never alone, that he's always there. He's just a prayer away. And there are times when God will visit you, and you'll have a special time of just enjoying the presence of the Lord. When you're driving the car, I've had experiences where God has just come, and all of a sudden I'm aware that Jesus is right there with me. I don't know exactly what brought that on, but he's there, and I worship him, and I drink in his blessing, and Sometimes I'm in the store, and suddenly Jesus comes. And he comes to those that look for him. He comes to those that practice his presence, as we've been taught. And so that's one thing that the Lord would like to do for you while you're up at camp. He would like to make his presence in your heart more real, and he'd like to teach you how to pay attention and to claim his presence and the blessings that accompany his presence all the time, wherever you are. When you go to school, take the name of Jesus with you. When you go to work, take him with you. Of course, he goes with you, but take him in the sense of recognize him, acknowledge him, claim him, expect him to be with you and to work in you in special ways and through you. Of course, Jesus had his Father's presence with him all the time, his presence of the Holy Spirit. But now at his baptism, the Lord had come to him in a new way, and there was a richer, more powerful, more complete anointing upon his life. And he had to now be very careful to keep under that anointing. We think that wherever I go, then I can just, God is obligated, because I'm his child now, to bless me, to use me, or whatever. Well, yes, we can claim his presence all the time, everywhere. But there is a special anointing, a special working of the Holy Spirit to those that learn to follow the cloud, to go where God leads you, to be doing what God calls you to do. Jesus, when you read the things that he had to say, he said, I don't do my own will. I don't go where I want to go. I go where the Spirit leads me to go. Remember when they were calling upon him to come and minister to Lazarus because he was dying? Jesus, the Bible says, he loved Lazarus. I'm sure he wanted to go. When he got to the grave, he wept. Maybe considering what Lazarus had gone through. But he didn't go because the cloud didn't move. The Spirit didn't lead him to go at that time, and he waited until the Spirit led him to go to Bethany. And by that time, Lazarus was dead. But God had a plan, and because Jesus kept under the anointing, God was able to perform a tremendous miracle and glorify himself in raising Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus lived that way all the time. He never went where he wanted to go or do just what he wanted to do or say what he wanted to say. But he was very careful to just keep under that anointing, to maintain that touch of the Spirit upon his life. I was preaching about Samson recently, and you know, Samson had an anointing upon his life for a while, but he didn't stay under the cloud. He went where he wanted to go, and then when he wanted God's help, he'd call on God. And we know the tragic story that when he was with Delilah and he revealed to her the secret of his strength, the Bible says that the Spirit left him. And he got up and he didn't realize that the Spirit was gone. And he shook himself, expecting that the power of God would come upon him. And he was, of course, shocked to find out that his enemies were able to overpower him. They blinded him and took him captive. And his life ended so tragically. He lost the anointing. He wasn't sensitive to the touch of God's Spirit upon his life, and he wasn't careful to keep under that. And so the thing that I would like to admonish us tonight as we are looking forward to serving God here at Pilgrim Camp is I trust that every one of you know that Jesus lives in your heart and that you you pay attention to him there. But the Lord wants to anoint you with fresh oil from heaven, that he may enable you to serve him acceptably, and that he, through you, will bring blessing to those that you minister to. And if you really want to be used of God and you really want your life to be effective, you've got to learn to follow the cloud, to stay under the anointing. When I was a little boy, my parents would hold the umbrella, and they'd walk. And if I wanted to stay dry, I'd stay close to them and stay under the umbrella. But if I got distracted, they'd keep walking and I'd get wet. Or if I wanted to go my own way and didn't want to go their way, I felt the consequences of that. And the Holy Spirit's like that. You know, the Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit has a will. There's something he wants to accomplish in each of these children. But he needs people that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that will be there when he needs them to be there, and will speak the words that he gives them to speak, and will minister under the anointing in a way that will bring about real change in lives. And so I'd like to encourage you to keep under the anointing in these days. And ask the Lord to help you, to teach you to do that, how to do that. Lord, make me sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I know that the anointing rests upon those that obey the word of God. And so, Lord, help me to be careful to obey your word in my heart and in my actions, in my words. Help me to obey Jesus. But then also, Lord, as I spend time in your presence, develop within me a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit so that I can sense when he's prompting me to do something or to go somewhere. I close with this story, and it's a rather personal story, but I think of it with great thanksgiving and humility. Years ago, I was working in the Ridgewood Church. And I mentioned this the other day to our congregation. There was a brother named Danny Costanza, and he was a great blessing to me, older man, took a real interest in us younger ministers. And he had gotten ill, and he was in the hospital, and people were visiting him in the hospital. And I had visited him, and I thought, well, I haven't seen Brother Danny for a while. And the thought came to me, go visit Danny Costanza. And I was really tired that day. I think it was the afternoon. I was going to rest a little bit. And I thought to myself, I'll go see him tomorrow. And then I thought, well, tomorrow, I thought about my schedule. I can't see him tomorrow. Well, and the next day, I'm busy too. And so I came to the conclusion, I guess I need to go see him now. If I'm going to see him, I should see him now. So I got on the train. I went into Manhattan. I went to the hospital there. And I walked into his room, and his son was at his bedside, his daughter had come, his wife was right there, and it was the last moments of Brother Danny's life. And when I walked into that, we could sense that he was slipping away. And so we read some of the Word of God, we prayed together, me and his son sang around the bedside, his bedside, and as we sung, he slipped into heaven. And I thought, Lord, thank you for prompting me to come at that very moment. And thank you for helping me to obey it. I'm sorry that I tried to reason a little bit. Teach me how to just quickly respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And then there's other son who worked at Teen Challenge in Pennsylvania. He couldn't be there because he was ministering there in Teen Challenge on the ranch. David Wilkerson had come to visit that Teen Challenge, and Brother Bob Costanza was very busy and didn't really get a chance to talk with Brother Dave, and he wanted to talk to him about his dad and to pray for his dad. And as Dave Wilkerson was driving off the grounds, Bob just stopped the car. He rolled down the window. He said, oh, Brother Dave, I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you. My dad is so sick. Could you please pray for him? And so together they prayed. And he told me, David Wilkerson prayed, Lord, send a minister to Danny to pray with him before he dies. And when he told me that, I thought, that was an answer to prayer. God leading me to go there. Now, I could think of 10 other ministers that I would have sent other than me. I don't know why God sent me. But I never forgot that experience. And I began to pray from that time, oh, God, help me. Help me to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and follow the cloud. And so I pray that for you counselors, that you'll be sensitive as you deal with the girls. Spend time in the presence of God. Let God develop within you a sensitivity so you'll be doing what He wants you to do when He wants you to do it. And those that work in other areas of the camp, even in very practical ways, the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. In the kitchen, on the beach, in the housekeeping. He wants you to be where you need to be, doing what you need to be doing. These things seem so insignificant to us, but you'll be surprised. A person that you meet, a word that you speak, something that you do will, with God's blessing, will make a tremendous difference in someone's life. And so it's one thing to know that Jesus is in my heart. That's precious, and I need to cherish that. But then I also need to learn to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and then to keep under the anointing. And so wherever Jesus went, the dove was with him because he followed the dove. And God will be with you when we learn to follow him too.